questions. These are, in fact, the discussions that we had also within the expert group on the non-compulsory cycle track. Well, you talk about expenses, but in most of the cases, for example, I will give you the example of Belgium. We have in the city center of Brussels, we have some cycle tracks, which mean independent parts which are reserved for cyclists. The speed in the whole residential area of Brussels is now reduced to 30 kilometers per hour. So cyclists who want to drive a bit faster, they may make use of the carriageway. They don't need to use the cycle track which is there, and which is in fact still to be used by children, by elderly, by people who don't want to use the carriageway. They have the choice. They simply have the choice. It's in fact we add to the comfort of the cyclists. It is not the one or the other. It's both in fact. And by being able to signpost non-compulsory cycle tracks, we give some extra possibilities for the cyclists, and we also reduce a bit the pressure on those cycle tracks, which becomes greater and greater, certainly in city centers, because in I don't know how it is in other countries, but in Belgium, for example, if you use an micro-mobility device, an electric step or something like this, and you drive faster than at foot pace, you're also considered as a cyclist. So you also are to be found on the cycle track. So it gets crowded and crowdier and crowdier on the cycle track. So in fact, we solve, in my view, two issues. We reduce a bit the pressure on the existing cycle tracks, and we also give the possibility to cyclists who think they want to use for one or another reason the carriageway to do so. So it will be, of course, up to the road owner to decide if a certain cycle track should be compulsory or not. But he is the one who knows the situation. So in fact, what we foresee here is we create some kind of a menu, and the road owner can choose out of the menu what dish he wants to be served to the cyclist. This is a bit the philosophy behind this. If we foresee signs in the convention, it is never obligatory to use them. It's an option. So everyone, every road owner has to make the choice himself. Then on the first question on the cycle crossing sign, well, we had the bit the same discussion again, but now in a lot of countries, I think in almost all the countries, to indicate that you approach a cycle crossing, this sign is already in use. It is there, and it conveys a message to vehicles who drive on the carriageway that they are approaching a cycle crossing. Even if the cyclist doesn't have priority, it is good to know as an approaching vehicle that you could encounter, however, a cyclist. It's just by way of protecting at the maximum the cyclist who could pass, who could cross the road at that cycle crossing. The reason, I was in favor, in fact, of combining them because they are now already combined. Now we put the one on top of the other, and that doesn't seem to be an issue concerning the yielding question. But if you put them together in our working group, it seems that it became complicated. I'm not of that opinion. For me, it doesn't matter. But you see, but maybe we will get there in the future, because there are a number of places where the cycle crossing and the pedestrian crossing are really adjacent. They are really next to each other. So why not indicate them both with the sign indicating both of them? It has nothing to do with the rules which apply to them. It's just an indication to the drivers approaching them that they're approaching these crossings. That's all. I hope this answers a bit your question, Łukasz. Thank you.